There is a lot to discuss with my next guest. The last time we had a chat on The King Review, it ended up being our most streamed interview on the 4CA website and the 4CA app. So it's fantastic to catch up with him again a few months later, because so much has happened since our last chat. His name is Campbell Newman. He is, of course, the former Premier of Queensland, former Lord Mayor of Brisbane, and now he is the Queensland leader of the Liberal Democrats. And in our chat there a few months ago, I asked him, will you make a run, a return to politics? And he said, he was a bit unsure. And lo and behold, a few weeks later, he made the big announcement that he had jumped to the Liberal Democrats and is running for the Senate in Queensland. Campbell Newman, welcome to The King Review.
G'day, Gavin, and g'day, Cairns listeners. It's great to be with you again, mate.
So, as I said, a lot has happened since we last spoke on the show.
Just a few things.
Just a few things. The big news this week, and a reason to reach out to you to have a chat, of course, is the very big announcement with the Clive Palmer and his party about effectively a preference swap. Obviously, there was a lot of bad blood between you two over the years. We're not going to rehash all of that. I'm sure listeners are across all of that. Tell us, tell listeners, why make this partnership with Clive Palmer? And particularly, I guess, he's a lot of anti-vax stuff that Clive Palmer has been involved with. You and I are both double vax, for example. How did you overcome that to forge this new deal?
I think the first thing to say is that the disagreements of the past sort of 8 years with Clive Palmer are things that we believe should be put behind both of us, because the future of Australia is far more important. And that's, frankly, what's happened. We've actually reconciled. We are deeply concerned about what's going on. There are quite a few issues that we don't agree on, but there's heaps that we do agree on at the moment. The whole stuff about our liberties being restricted, the impact on small business, vaccine mandates or coercion, these are things that we can campaign shoulder to shoulder on. So I'm very comfortable with coming up with an agreement with Clive, because the most important point about this is that if we're to get real leadership in Canberra, if we're to make a difference and get rid of the political hacks that actually just there for a career as opposed to working for Australia, if we're to achieve something, minor parties have to work together. So we've come to this agreement with Clive and the UAP, Craig Kelly, his lead candidate in New South Wales, and there'll be other agreements, we hope. We want to cooperate with the minor parties, indeed our own members, and people from the public have been contacting us over the past 2 or 3 months saying, please, please, please don't fight each other, fight together against the Greens, the Labor Party, and the LNP and Liberal parties who've lost their way.
Are there any other parties that you're in discussion with for similar preference swap deals?
Look, we will be in discussions with other parties. There have been discussions in the past, and we really extend the hand of, you know, friendship and cooperation to them, because we've got to work together for Australia. So we, by election day, will have come to agreements with those other parties for those third and fourth preferences and the like. What we're saying, though, to people is, right now, we'd like you to vote one for the Lib Dems, vote two for the UAP candidate, there's one in your local area, and then numbering down the ticket, put the Liberal National Party third last, the Labor Party second last, and the Greens in last position. That's what our recommendation will be right across this country if we're to get change in Canberra.
Let's turn then to your party, the Liberal Democrats. You've recently released the Freedom Manifesto, a very big comprehensive policy document focusing on some key policy areas. Talk to us about some of those priorities. Very interested to hear, first of all, about where you are at with COVID-19, as you mentioned there, the mandates, the restrictions, the regulations, the two-class society that we seem to be creating with some of these rules and regulations. Tell us, the Liberal Democrats, what would you like to see done differently, particularly if you're able to get some influence there in Canberra?
Well, what we want to achieve, Gavin, is a voting bloc in the Senate at the very least. Of course, we'd like to get members in the lower house as well, and we've got some terrific candidates that have already been pre-selected. But we want a bloc of, say, four people who will work together, and again with minor parties in the Senate, to actually provide a real bulwark or balance against the extremism of the Greens in the Australian Parliament. We need sensible, leadership, real leadership on the centre-right to actually restore the balance. So the Freedom Manifesto, which we released about a couple of weeks ago, and you can find it on our website, it's ldp.org.au/freedom. Policy document is one that has really important, exciting ideas. Some of them are controversial ideas, mate. There will be debate around this stuff. And if people don't like them, we'd like to know about that. I hope that people can see great merit in quite a lot of this stuff. But we thought it was important to put a stake in the ground and show people what the Liberal Democrats are really about. And some of the stuff, by the way, is stuff that the Liberal Party once upon a time would have had no trouble supporting but doesn't anymore. So you asked about COVID. Well, the high-level view that we have is that on the 4th of December, by that date, it's only days away now, we should have seen the opportunity for every Australian who wants to get the shot, have the shot. Those who don't want to get vaccinated shouldn't be compelled or forced or blackmailed or bullied. But on that date, we open up. And that date's set. We know it's coming. If you're worried about COVID and you think the shot works for you, after talking to your doctor, you go and get the shot. At that point, we open up. No border controls anymore between the states. No vaccine passports, no QR codes, etc. And we get on and we live with this disease. And it's a dangerous disease for people who are elderly and for people with comorbidities or health issues. So that's what we need to do. This is not living. We are existing. And my heart goes out to the people in Cairns in the tourism sector who have been hurt so badly and who have even now a lack of real support and response from both the federal and the state governments. You know, they are hurting, they're bleeding, livelihoods have been trashed, you know, families have been torn apart. I'm just so dismayed that this just continues on with, frankly, no end in sight.
Well, I emceed a session with TTNQ and a law firm in Cairns this week. It was sold out, so 100 tourism operators in the room. We had a legal expert, employment expert, and TTNQ. And the confusion and the concern and just the complete uncertainty about these, you know, compulsory vaccinations, mandates over here, not mandated for some. It's so confusing. Tourism operators are so concerned, all business owners. It's just crazy, isn't it? It's just absolutely
crazy. It is crazy. And Gavin, the Premier's plan for opening up is a sham, a total disgraceful sham.
It changes from press conference to press conference.
It changes, the double talk and the fighting between the feds and the state about, you know, if a test has to be paid for or not. But I will give you a personal example. I have a young relative interstate who's graduating from a tertiary institution in the coming weeks, and I would love to be there for her special day, and I cannot, because even though I've been double vaccinated, the Premier of Queensland seems to believe that I've then got to do 14 days in quarantine. What was the point, Gavin?
That's exactly
right. I'll ask the Premier, what was the damn point of having the shot? And that then leads to another issue is, clearly, if I've got to be quarantined, that bells the cat that people have been vaccinated, we know, it's a fact, can carry the virus. So if that's the case, what's a vaccine mandate or that coercion all about? If, for example, you could have a vaccine, like for some of the older diseases that have been eliminated, like smallpox, where it meant you didn't carry, then there would be a much stronger argument for a mandate to stop transmission. But that's not the case with this one. Really, what this is all about is a shot that protects you, if we believe the science, and I do, it protects you, but each person's got to make their own decision. Me getting the shot isn't going to save someone in the bar sitting next to me who's unvaccinated for me giving it to them. I may be asymptomatic. I might not. I won't know that I'm carrying it, but I can give the bug to that person. So as for me, I don't care if they're vaccinated or not. So this whole thing is just a nonsense. It's big government, authoritarian measures, and frankly, so much of it is illogical, and we're not being given the true facts. And the sooner it ends, the better we can get on with our lives, and people can make their own decisions about how they choose to protect themselves.
Now, let's turn to some other key policy platforms there in that Freedom Manifesto. Recall elections. Was very interested to read about that. Listeners, general public may not be too familiar with that concept. You say here on the policy document, the Liberal Democrats believe government should be a servant, not a master. Talk to us about this policy, recall elections. What does it mean? What power does it give to everyday citizens?
Well, just on that first comment, I think government, you know, politicians and sadly bureaucrats across Australia after the last 2 years on this power trip feel they're the bosses, they're the master, and they just love ordering us around, you know, masks on, masks off, check in here, check out there, you know, do this, do that, stand over there, come down, get tested, get a shot, whatever. It's not on. It's not the Australian way. So one of the ways we're proposing to actually get them to recalibrate what the world is really meant to be all about and what, how this country's meant to work is to actually bring in, as some jurisdictions overseas, say the United States have, an idea which is recall elections. So basically the way this works is if you get enough people in an electorate, and you would work out what, you know, if you were developing such legislation, you'd work out what the percentage would have to be. But if you got, say, 150,000 or 200,000 signatures in Queensland of legitimate, you know, voting people, who, if they put their signature on a bit of paper, you could then force the Premier to go to the Governor and a new election to be called. Mm. People were all saying it was great to have four-year terms when that went through, with 3 years to go right now before an election.
Right.
I think many Queenslanders right now, particularly ones in the tourism sector, are probably going, gee, was that such a good idea?
So a very recall long elections, time.
Yeah, well, recall elections keep politicians on their toes. They know, like a Daniel Andrews, who's trying to do this draconian authoritarian stuff with his state of emergency powers, he would be looking over his shoulder going, well, if I do this, there might be an election. So it's a very important disincentive for megalomania.
A whole bunch of other policies there, low flat taxes, voluntary superannuation, which of course would be a controversial one. A whole bunch of other policies there. You can jump on the Liberal Democrats website. Campbell Newman, the other interesting thing I wanted to catch up with you about, of course, we saw a whole bunch of rallies, protests, whatever you want to call them, a huge turnout here in Cairns. A few thousand people were the estimates. I mean, in terms of the support that you're sensing on the ground, I'm sure you're travelling around, you're meeting and greeting and campaigning all over Queensland. Do you have a sense of just what is the unmet desire out there, if you like, for people to support a party like the Lib Dems? I mean, is it's not just a fringe sort of portion of the community anymore? Is it's building into a real groundswell of concern out there?
Look, it's building into quite an important minor party now, Gavin. We've had huge numbers of people joining us, some from the Labor Party, but many, many from the LNP and the Liberal parties around Australia. We've had very high-profile defections, people like myself, people like John Ruddock in New South Wales and the like. We're seeing great support when we have meetings with our branches. For example, last night on the Gold Coast, I attended a meeting with 220 or so people in the Surfers Paradise Golf Club, and they were fired up. They wanted to know what they could do. They didn't appreciate Cameron Dick, one of Palaszczuk's ministers, referring to people who don't agree with the authoritarian regime we're living under. They don't agree with Cameron Dick when he called people conspiracy theorists, weirdos and right-wing nut jobs only a few days ago. I mean, that's the attitude of some of these politicians to any sort of dissent or any sort of concern over the terrible restrictions and ongoing regime we're living under. So, you know, I think there's strong momentum out there. Again, the key to it is cooperation between the minor parties. I mean, you know, we haven't talked about One Nation. We haven't talked about KAP. You know, I have an immense amount of time for Robbie Katter and the KAP and his dad. I know they're great representatives of people in your part of the world and out towards Mount Isa. Certainly Pauline Hanson and I've always had, you know, a working relationship, a professional relationship. You know, we stand to work with her. You know, this is not about personalities and fighting each other. This is about ensuring that we get rid of politicians in Canberra who've never had real jobs, who've been political staffers, union staffers, peak lobby groups, but who've never had to cut a payroll, who've never had to take responsibility for making that payment to the bank for the business, who don't understand the red tape and bureaucracy that business owners and operators have to put up with that this coalition government have put in place only in the last few years. The people, the entrepreneurs who've got great projects that will employ people who are blocked by unnecessary green tape and red tape. You know, those are the things that we're hearing from people. People are very, very angry, and they're mobilising. And I would hope they'd join us. But again, if they want to join another political party, we stand ready to work with them too. It's so important.
Fascinating times, Campbell Newman from the Liberal Democrats. Great pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Gavin. Thanks, listeners.